This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Traffic there.
From their album.
That album. Light Up or Leave Me Alone, which is from the album The Low Spark of the High Heeled Boys. It's been stuck in my car stereo, and I don't know. It's past the point. I've got this CD in my car stereo, and for one thing, I'm not used to having. I got a car, a newer car. My friend Leif Erickson is here.
Hello.
Good morning, Leif.
Good morning.
Not too long ago, I got, after a long and complicated series of events that led to the demise of my previous car, none of which were life-threatening, I got another car, and it's the least busted-down car I've ever owned in my life.
And it has a CD player.
Not only does it have a CD player, but I neglected to notice for weeks. Like, I just assumed that it was broken. And one day, I pressed the eject. Just out of in an idle moment, I pressed the eject button, and a Garth Brooks Greatest Hit CD came out.
So it was broken. What you're saying?
No, it turns out maybe it was working because it wouldn't play the Garth Brooks CD.
Oh, okay. So it's protecting you. I like that.
Maybe. So since then, I've been enjoying this strange luxury of having a CD. You know, and I'm like, hey, I could listen to a CD. Of course, saying this over the radio airwaves that I'm hoping people are listening to.
Mm-hmm. Don't turn your CDs on now, folks. If you still have a CD on the radio. In your car, give it a rest for a while.
Yeah.
Don't pop that Garth Brooks in there just yet.
That's right. Or even maybe the traffic CD that I was
Evans
playing.
Or whatever that guy was.
Chris Gaines. Chris Gaines.
Was that
it? Yeah.
His alter ego for some reason.
Right. One of my favorite. One of my favorite Twitter accounts, Instagram accounts, is actually called Chris Gaines Official.
Oh, nice.
Which is actually one of the wildly clever and hilarious sons of former WRFL music director Wynn Morris. So his Instagram account is Chris Gaines Official.
Keeping Chris Gaines alive. He's doing the whole world a favor.
So anyway, a little bit of traffic there because that CD has been stuck in my car CD player. Not literally, but actually almost literally.
Voluntarily stuck though,
well maybe. sometimes it won't come out, and other times I'm like, I'm just gonna keep this up, let's just keep going with this.
Do you ever hear the ghost of Garth Brooks behind the music, behind traffic?
Well, that's sorry, that's Eddie Vedder.
And I probably wouldn't be the first person to call it a traffic jam, right? I'm late to that party, I would assume.
Well, you know, but you're late usually, so
that's true.
So it that's seems true. Like you're on time.
Whoa, you just blew my mind, Mick. It's too early for that.
Now, well, it's not too early for you. You're after this, you're going to go off and do some college teaching and stuff, right?
Yeah, teaching and mentoring and corrupting young minds.
How's the corrupting going?
Oh, it's going fine. I have 5 out of 6 of my classes this semester are online, which is unusual. You got to really stay in touch with those students or they drift. I'm not sure I'm crazy about online teaching, but...
Yeah, I don't even understand it, really. Like, everybody talks into their computer? How does it work?
No, there's really no talking. I tell my students at the beginning, this is a writing class, so it makes sense you would have to read a lot. And I type them really long messages and correspond with them. I email a lot. I'm trying to bring some video component into the class, but, you know, that's really weird. To just come on in the morning and you put on a video and there's your weird looking teacher with bad lighting and bad video saying things about grammar and things. I don't know. I've got to figure it out. I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're alone. So, although in the technical sense, you are alone because everyone's isolated.
Right. Exactly. We're all at our separate computers. I don't know. I don't know that I would recommend taking a class online. I hope my bosses don't hear me say that because that's the trend. I resisted online teaching for years, but it's kind of the wave now. So
yeah. So let's see. Now you were playing. You had kind of a starring turn with the March Madness Marching Band out at
Moondance. I played Major Tom / Troy McClure from The Simpsons. It was a mishmash of fun. And you did too, of course. You played a creature and then you got married and such.
I had three roles, yeah. So that was a fine little. That was a nice turnout for the March Madness marching band. That is not to be confused with the NCAA trademark of the same name.
Exactly. Yeah, I got to play Ground Control to Major Tom, otherwise known as Space Oddity, Mr. David Bowie, who has recently left our presence, of course. So it was even more poignant to play that song, and I feel like I didn't really screw up, you know.
Right.
Playing English professor, I didn't do so badly.
Well, I'm happy to have a trumpet playing English professor, Leif Erickson, down here to visit a little bit and also do some trivia research that I'm so lackluster at these days, despite the show being called Trivial Thursdays.
I figure if a college professor can't research some trivia, then there's a problem.
Yeah. Now, one of the things you saw, one of your favorite things on here was a Paul Simon related thing, is that right?
Graceland. If you all haven't listened to the album Graceland from beginning to end, why do you hate yourselves? That's the question that I would have for you. You should do that right now. Go buy it somewhere. Somewhere in town. Be nice to your neighbors and shop owners here in Lexington, or wherever you live nearby in the region, wherever the signal reaches. Folks, nice to see you this morning. But go out and buy Graceland. If you got to download it, do what you got to do. But listen to Graceland.
Now, listen, I just want to tell you that we're not supposed to give like calls to action.
That was
like
for
that on the radio.
Ghosts. Any ghosts listening. So, not humans. You make up your own minds. You are free agents. You listen to whatever you like or nothing with your CD players in your cars.
There he goes again, giving calls to action, telling people what to do. You spend
or
all
not,
your time.
I said.
It's a teacher thing. It's a teacher thing, isn't it?
It is.
Telling people what
it
to
is.
Do.
It is. Very, very prescriptive. Yeah. Okay. Very prescriptive.
Well, okay, so we're going to come back to, we'll play something from Graceland. How about that? Also, I'm going to play this from, this is a band that's playing at the Moon Tower Music Festival. And it's one of my favorite records of the last little while. So I'm going to play something by the Floozies, who I like to not exactly jokingly say are, Prince is gone and the Floozies are no replacement, but it's not a bad thing to listen to if you don't get to listen to Prince. So as soon as I can figure out how to make all this stuff.
Well, you know, Graceland, I can tell you something about Graceland while you're doing that. The reason Paul Simon got to make that album is because no one cared. He was kind of in a slump. Not a slump, but he wasn't. He hadn't done much lately in his career. And so everybody's like, sure, go in the studio, do whatever it is you're doing over there. You're probably done. That's cool. So he just brought in all this weird, these weird sounds and instruments, and he brought in some great African musicians to do their traditional music with his pop music. And was able to make this strange, strange album because no one was paying attention. And if they had been, it probably never would have come about. But simply one of the best albums in the second half of the 20th century, I would argue.
We've got two songs here on deck that involve the word mother. Paul Simon technically there with really enormous, enormous assistance from Good Rockin' Dopesy.
Dopesy
with That Was Your Mother from Graceland. I think that was who it was, Good Rockin' Dopesy. But so that track from my friend Leif Erickson, who noticed in today's historical trivia that
Graceland came out this day, 1986. I was 15.
Now Graceland sort of suffuses the musical landscape in a way that I'm going to attempt to guess about the importance of
okay.
it. Paul Simon and Graceland, and I know that the album really well too, but like I think what he did that seems so normal now was he collected all these little musical artifacts from all over the world,
yeah,
and he like synthesized them into this weird kind of global pop album. And it's not like no one had done it before,
right?
But Paul Simon was famous enough as an American pop songwriter that he did it in a way that was fairly respectful to the indigenous musics that he borrowed from, a lot from South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Lady Smith, Black Mambazo, who are incredible.
Right.
Way.
And then like there's New Orleans in there. Mm-hmm. There's he made stars out of Lady Smith, Black Mambazo,
yeah.
which
they needed. I mean, they're incredible.
Totally.
Yeah.
And they played here several times. So anyway, that track, That Was Your Mother, paying credence to New Orleans Zydeco music.
Clifton Chenier and the King of the Bayou.
It's an awfully fun album to listen to.
It is. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
It's an awfully fun album to listen to. So thanks for that little note.
Sure.
Before that, an album that is nothing but fun to listen to. The title track from the Floozies, Tell Your Mother. And I'm delighted to be joined by Kelsey and Kaylin, neither of whom I've seen for a while. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
That's what you need at 7:30 in the morning.
What's that?
Some floozies.
Some floozies. A couple of floozies.
I approve of this message.
A couple of floozies fans.
Yep. Exactly.
Get you dancing on the way to work.
You guys have been mighty hard at work on, is this year three?
Yeah.
Of the Moon Tower Music Festival?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Three is a magic number.
It is.
Kaylin, you've got your WRFL t-shirt on, one that I don't have.
Well, I felt like I needed to wear it.
Yeah.
You got to rep the brand.
Yeah, this is every week. You know this, right?
Yeah.
I never, ever do the radio show without wearing a WRFL shirt. It's a religion. Because it's a religion.
Right. Yeah. As it should be.
So, your Earl's Festival is becoming something of a religion, too. The Floozies, one of my favorite bands, you guys have come to town. Can we call them a band? Is that how it works?
What do you do these days? Yeah, I think that's acceptable.
Because it's two guys. It's two brothers.
Correct. Yes.
And that was the track, by the way, that we heard that not only kind of sounded like Prince without Prince, but they also had kind of a Prince sample, right?
Mm-hmm. It did.
If I may quote, ew! Everybody knows that, right? From the song.
Is Prince in here? Is that Prince?
Sounded just like him.
Yeah. So, now where are they from?
They're from Arkansas, actually. Yeah.
That's impossible.
Yeah. No, they're not from.
Look to Kelsey for that. I have no idea.
They've toured all over recently. They haven't been to Lexington in a long time. Probably since around 2011.
I have to confess that I have an incredible prejudice against the very idea that anything could happen in Arkansas. But I know that it could, because everywhere, there's great things everywhere.
It's going to come to me, and I'm going to get you an answer.
They're not
you said
from
Bill Clinton,
Kentucky.
And I just want to mention Boots Randolph, okay? And that undercuts Bill Clinton just a little bit when he played saxophone on The Tonight Show.
That's right, he did.
Anyway.
With sunglasses on.
Musically speaking, anyway. I'm sorry, I diverted for just a moment because our co-host said
it's okay, we have
said
air
Bill Clinton, and I had to say Boots Randolph. Because this was because politicians and good music rarely do they go together. Rarely. I don't care what party you're affiliated with. Rarely do they go together.
Herbert Hoover played a mean guitar, though.
Yeah?
No, I don't know. I hope. Hoover, wherever you are.
So you guys, let's see. We think the Floozies are from Arkansas. Or were we sure? Are we sure they are?
No, they're somewhere in that area of the country.
Let's just say Utah.
Yeah.
If only there were a device, we could look this up.
If only there were service down here.
So this, let's see, you've got the Moon Tower Music Festival, year three.
Yeah, this Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yep.
Masterson Station Park.
Dusk Till Dawn, what?
It goes, exactly. Gates open at 11, and we've got music from 11 to 11.
Right.
So you can come anytime throughout the day, but you should come the whole day. We've got some great artists earlier in the day, so it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, what's the deal? What's your spin on this? The Moon Tower Music Festival. We've seen a lot. We've seen quite a cultural renaissance in the last several years of things that it's hard to argue with. Local this and that, local food, local music, local beer,
we tried to pull all that together with this. Obviously, you know, you've got to have great national and regional acts to get folks to come out. But then we've plugged in some amazing local artists. And Lexington has such a great local music scene. So it's hard to choose, from those. So we've tried to rotate each year. But then all the food trucks are sourcing food from local Kentucky Proud Farms, and we partnered with Kentucky Proud to make that happen, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky Ale and Wild Turkey will be there with yummy craft beer and some great Wild Turkey bourbon slushies if you're 21 or older. And then Bomb and Paper has helped us make the festival waste-free. So we're really trying to, you know, yes, it's great to listen to great music and to come out and enjoy and have fun, but we want to really highlight what Lexington and Central Kentucky is doing as well as far as food and drinks and music and people and places and things. So
Talk about, did you say Baum and Paper?
Mm-hmm.
What's their deal?
Or how, so they're how do they a paper work? Company. They have been around forever, and I feel terrible that I don't know the exact number of years that they've been in business, but we've partnered with them as a whole with LexEffect, and they have helped us make all of our events waste-free. So they source biodegradable, compostable, recyclable materials. So all of our vendors have to make sure that whatever they're using to serve food or drinks or, you know, whatever, it meets those standards. And every state has different qualifications as to what is compostable, recyclable, et cetera, in their state. So Bauman does a lot of research on what Kentucky classifies as waste-free and how to make that happen. And then they work with all the vendors to make sure they have what they need. And they've been a really great partner.
Now I'm hearing it correctly. It's the company is called Bauman, right?
Bauman. Well, yeah. That's how I pronounce it.
Right. Well, I think that they could have. No, I think you're probably right. But I was hearing Baum and Paper, which is a pretty great name.
That,
you know,
oh,
they
yeah,
might want to B-O-M-B and Paper. But yeah, Baum and Paper, as a graphic designer, I happen to be aware of them too. They talk about a business that was actually pretty early to the recycling scene.
Yeah, they were.
It's weird to think of it, but you know, if you run a paper company, on the one hand, you think, well, God, all they do is cut down trees.
Right.
But in the process of trying to sort of maximize profits and streamline everything, pretty quickly you turn to recycling.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, how can we?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and they've got an entire waste-free, compostable program that they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked with them to obviously use those for our events, but they've done a really great job of kind of being ahead of the game on all of that to make sure that, you know, not just events, but restaurants and whoever, you know, can get those items at a reasonable price and get easy access. And so we're working with them in the city to try to get more things to be waste-free, which would obviously be really cool.
Yeah. Kelsey and Caitlin are here from the Moon Tower Music Festival, kicking off Saturday at what time?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. And we heard some music from the Floozies. I thought of a good way to give away tickets by not mentioning this band here.
Yes,
you all have a quite a wealth of bands playing, including this band that we won't mention.
Yes.
And we do have a couple tickets to give away for Saturdays. Now, how many bands are playing?
15 total.
15 bands playing.
Yep. You're aware that these are musicians, but you're still starting at 11?
Yep.
Is that, you know, that's like 6 a.m. for a musician.
Well, we have a DJ that's playing early.
And the DJ is going to be there to start playing at 11. You guys are very optimistic.
Yeah.
I like that.
We actually do have a good crowd that shows up early and stands at the gate because they want to get their chair. So it's chair and blanket
fans, sure.
And tent and canopy friendly.
Sure.
So they want to get their hammock set up or their chairs in place. They want to reserve their spot. You know, it's not thousands, but it's a decent amount. And
yeah, fans will show up early. I'm just not sure about musicians.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, normally everyone's like, so are you sure I have to be the 12? Could I be like the 3? That's, you know,
no,
we wake up about 1.
Right.
And we have 2 stages.
Then you don't want to cross Caitlin on that. They'll be here.
I'm like, no, you will be here at 12.
I'll come find you.
And you will be excited about it.
I'll be at your door.
Well, in theory, you can see every band that's playing because none of the bands overlap. So,
nice.
Yeah, you can see all 15 bands.
I hate when you go to a festival and you want to see 2 bands
and
both playing
time.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Ah, existential crisis.
Yeah, I'm too indecisive for those situations.
Well, and we moved our stages closer together this year. So last year you had to go from one side to the other. Not that Masterson is that far apart from, you know, mm-hmm. It was a short walk, but you did have to move. This year they are right next to each other, so you can sit in the middle and just turn a couple degrees, turn a couple degrees, and not move. I mean, we suggest you get up to go to the bathroom.
Well,
but,
probably.
Or to get a bourbon slush.
They make devices for those sorts
of
things,
That's true. You know, pay somebody to bring you a water or something,
sure.
And you're good.
Somebody cart the porta potty over to you,
exactly.
And you can
a
just
bourbon
get
slush kind of a bourbon slush concierge service.
Exactly. Yeah, we should work on that.
And you know,
you
it's
probably
easier
will
to get
too.
Out there now too, since they worked
the
on Leestown Road.
Done, yeah.
So if you're worried about that, folks,
good
problem
to go.
Solved.
Yeah.
So it's at Masterson, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Masterson Station Park in the fairgrounds.
Now you guys, it started out at
a vineyard, yeah, in Woodford County.
Okay.
And we outgrew that space in the first year. And when you're in a different county, it's hard. You know, the medical services, police, fire, they, you know, you've got to work with that county versus Fayette County.
Well, because you put a bunch of people together, and it's you have to understand, like, crowd management. Like, if you just put a bunch of humans together, I don't care how smart they are.
Right. Something's going to happen.
Things go, people hurt themselves. And like, it's weird, yeah. Right? It's just like I said, I don't care how smart they are. You put a bunch of people together yeah. and strange things can happen. Mm-hmm. So you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Which
so
you guys are.
Masterson yeah. last year.
Right.
And it went well. We've changed the layup a little bit. So I think people are going to be excited about what they see this year. And it's even bigger than last year, and we're excited.
So let's see. I want to come back and talk about some of the bands that are playing. This band here, who shall remain nameless for a minute, championed early on by WRFL and just kind of shot up through WRFL's charts. It's a local band who are, at this point, just their trajectory seems to just be just nothing but up. In kind of a just meteoric way, right?
They've got this insane following of super fans.
Yeah.
And I would say the city of Lexington
yeah.
has a crush.
No doubt. So anyway, if you can name, I'm going to play something. This is one of my favorite CDs from last summer. In fact, this is the track, The Summer Blues, from their first EP. I don't know that you're going to count.
we haven't announced the actual question yet. You should change
I'm
it
I'm
going
to take the second caller. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a douche. So anyway, here's some music for you.
Yeah.
If you're the second caller and you can tell me who this is, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Moon Tower Music Festival. Oh, I don't get tired of hearing that. That is as our caller, Jamie Rushing, told me, Johnny Conqueror from here in Lexington. Yeah.
Straight up blues.
From three teenage white boys.
Yeah.
And it's shocking to see. It's
who
shocking.
Are in high school, we yeah. have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally in high school. And did I say three? It's three,
three
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Trinity.
And they're high school kids who have so this is something I feel like gets misunderstood a lot. So I went to the state fair. Mm-hmm.
And I saw the picture on Facebook, the rows of corn.
Right, rows of corn.
Did you have food on a stick?
12 feet of corn, actually, which was a reference to... I didn't put the full reference in, but there's a picture of my wife, Lucy, in the prize-winning corn section. And I had to take the picture because one time, a long, long time ago, we were sleeping, and Lucy, in some sort of weird lucid dream, she sat up, and she gestured off in the distance in our bedroom and was like, "Look, 12 feet of corn." And so that's why the tagline on the photo is 12 feet of corn.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was, so one time I went to, they were doing this kind of horse show in the arena at the state fair. And this guy was playing the organ. It was this sort of terrible kind of like horsey organ music that they play
yeah.
for horse shows.
Yeah.
And I recognized this one song, and I went up to the guy, and I'm just always a curious music person, and I was like, "Hey, what song is this?" Because I knew it was an old song, and I couldn't quite identify it. And the song was Cherish, by the way, by the Association. And but I went up, and I was like, "Hey," and I was just curious. I was like, "Hey, what song is this?" And this guy, who was like this kind of bitter old alcoholic organ player, he was like, "You're too young to know." So this is all a roundabout way of saying that, like, music, by the way, is a recorded form. It's a recorded yeah. medium. So you're never too young to know. It all depends on your level of fandom. And the Johnny Conqueror kids latched on to deep American blues and what you might call heavy blues, too, which is like what Cream played and a variety of the British guys, like Led Zeppelin and Cream, who listened to American blues and were like, "This is awesome. Let's run it through an amplifier at 10 or 11. And and they're high school kids.
Yeah.
They're totally high school kids.
Yeah.
And you go up to them and be like, "You're too young to know anything about the blues."
Yeah.
And then let them turn on their amplifiers and mm-hmm. blow you down.
Yeah. It's smart to do that because it's, you know, it's unexpected, but they're also, they could tell they love it. They didn't just do it as a gimmick. And it's free of irony. They're not doing it ironically, like, "Look at us doing ironic blues." It's really, those guys are really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really know what they're doing.
And with their huge following in Lexington, a younger following too, it's really cool to be at their show and see all these high school kids getting really into blues, and I think that's
but
really
then
awesome.
Right behind
it's
them
really
you see
weird.
A bunch of like 40 plus year olds rocking.
Why'd
like,
you look at me when you said
but
that
you won't see their parents because I'm told frequently that they tell their parents they may not come, or the parents have to stand over and behind the curtain on the side.
They do
well, you know, one of the parents, at least, I don't know the other parents, but Billy Quinn has to be partly responsible for this. He's a great musician
he's
himself,
their manager as well,
and I know he has taught them a lot of good music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's great. This is the fruits of it. He's so great.
Mm-hmm. He has some good stories about playing at the Dame.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, about the water. Well, it wasn't the Dame. But it was.
Yeah, so those guys are playing, which will, of course, be a giant hit. And they're just, but they're just a little local band.
Yes.
Well, they're not little.
Yeah.
They're not little at all.
They're not little.
But they're going to be just kind of a, they're pretty much destined for a national stage, it would seem.
Oh, my gosh,
would seem.
Yeah, we just hope they remember us.
Right.
You know, so when they come back, they'll wave at least.
Right.
Motorcade.
And not completely triple their, what do you call it? Not their guarantee.
Yeah, their guarantee. Not remember the little
people. You may be fighting that guarantee a little
bit. I'm going to need to get a contract in place now. You cannot raise your brother.
So we're here with Kelsey and Kaylin of the Moon Tower Music Festival and my friend Leif Erickson.
Hello.
Along also. And so the Moon Tower Music Festival, which is...
This Saturday. And I have to mention, this event goes to support the Central Music Academy here in Lexington, which if people are not familiar with CMA, they've, you know, they got to at least learn about them. They are in downtown Lexington, and they provide music education, classes, band, orchestra, chorus, things like that for kids that can't necessarily afford it, or and they help with, you know, getting the instruments, and they've got some amazing instructors over there. So we were really excited to partner, like Mick, who teaches a ukulele class, I found out. She mentioned ukulele, and I was like, let me guess, it's Mick Jeffries. But they're awesome, and we partnered with them last year as well, and we felt like it was a really good fit, you know, for these kids to come out and see the stage and see these musicians and know that if, you know, they work hard enough, that could be them one day. So we're really excited to work with them again this year.
Yeah. Yeah. CMA is a great thing.
Oh,
so basically it's for kids who, if you qualify for reduced or free lunch, then you qualify for free music lessons, basically.
And she said they've helped. They had some record number of kids that they've worked with. I don't know the number offhand. I don't know if you do, Mick, but several hundred.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but there's kids, you know, flowing in and out of there every day. So, and I think the program continues to grow. So that's really great that you guys are.
And they've added ukulele, which is great.
Right, and which is when we keep getting more and more students for that. So that's cool. And that's by far the it's fairly classical music directed. Mm-hmm. Well, you can take, you know, they offer lessons on violin, piano, horns, really all kinds of stuff. But so I was happy that they started a ukulele program since it's a little bit of blowing off steam for some of their more serious endeavors. Yeah,
and probably the most misspelled instrument also.
You think?
Ukulele.
As long as you don't try to pronounce it ukulele, because, you know, that's fine if you want to do that. But but I don't say Perry. I just came back from Perry.
You're not Alex Trebek.
So anyway, you've got the festival Saturday. You've got that's the third year. Who are some of the other? I mean, we haven't even mentioned some of the major bands that are playing.
Yeah. So the headliners: Manchester Orchestra, Drive By Truckers, and Trombone Shorty.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're gonna rock. Yeah. All three.
Okay, so I've seen the Drive By Truckers. I've seen Trombone Shorty. Both of them are completely compelling, in very different ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Drive By Truckers have this. They're almost mythical quality about them now. Because they write these crazy songs, or they're these. Again, the songs are almost like about. They're almost like rock mythology kind of. Yeah. Where their songs like make reference to people like Bon Scott and stuff like that. But it's Americana though. Both the main songwriters from that band have become stars in and of their own right, kind of.
Yes, exactly. I think the three headliners all work together really nicely, but they cover three different genres as well, like kind of Southern Rock Americana from Drive By Truckers, New Orleans Jazz from Trombone Shorty, Manchester Orchestra is just a great indie rock band. And so I'm excited for lots of people to come with one favorite band and hopefully leave with a few other favorites.
It's a bit scandalous, though, because Trombone Shorty, not all that short.
No.
I'm going to break this story. He might not even perform once I get the story out there. It's going to be really scandalous.
A Trombone Shorty played, I've seen him twice. I saw him in Louisville, maybe at Forecastle. Mm-hmm. And then he played in Lexington for
the equestrian games
and just slayed everybody. Oh, yeah. God, they were good.
Well, and he just played at with Hall & Oates.
Over at Riverbend.
Yeah, and it rocked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that he stole the show, actually, so... I'm excited that he's back in Lexington. I feel like a lot of people have really fond memories of the last time he was here and are still talking about it. So hopefully he gives them some more good things to talk about this time around.
So what are, let's see, I'll let each of you offer some of, what are your, and listen, the answer to this question can't be really all of it. So my question for you, of course, is, you know, what's like your, do you have like a secret little thing that you're looking forward to? Not that it has to stay secret because you want to share it with the audience, but like it's some aspect of the Moon Tower Festival that you're particularly looking forward to and think is going to be of great delight to festival goers.
Yes. Well, at 2 o'clock, this band out of Nashville called Bash is playing, and they're actually members of the band Matrimony, and one of the guys from Band of Horses helped produce a couple of their new songs.
Okay.
They actually have one song out right now, but the whole album is supposed to be amazing, so I think that'll be a really great surprise for a lot of people. So get out early to see them is what I would recommend.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll play the Bash song.
Okay, cool.
And then I'll give Kaylin a little time to think about her answer. That's not
know,
oh everything.
I can wait. I don't think anyone will be surprised by my answer.
Okay, well, this is Body by Bash.
Correct.
And they're from where again?
They're from Nashville.
Okay.
They're based in Nashville.
Okay. So check
Arkansas.
It out.
They're from Arkansas.
We'll be back. This is Trivial Thursdays, and we'll be back.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
Drive-By Truckers there with Let There Be Rock from their album Southern Rock Opera. The Drive-By Truckers, one of the headliners for the Moon Tower Festival.
Playing at 8:40.
8:40? Mm-hmm. You're going to get like 8:40 is when they got
on
the line.
Dot, like, no minute later.
So, with their fascinating kind of... my brother is crazy for the Drive-By Truckers.
Well, they have an album coming out in September-ish, October.
Yep.
And it's weird how they've like, I'm not that familiar with them basically, but their knack for, kind of spinning their own kind of folklore sort of, it's Americana, but the guy's singing, you know. Seeing Bon Scott on the Let There Be Rock tour, and it just sort of takes all of kind of rock and roll and popular music and puts like a lump in your throat kind of this weird nostalgic quality. So they're certainly, I mean, they've got diehard fans.
Oh, yeah.
So
all ages, all types. So yeah. I'm excited for the crowd that they're going to bring.
And then before that, we heard Bash.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. With Body, their song Body, they're playing too.
Yes, they'll be playing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're from Nashville, so is Chrome Pony and Aubrey Sellers. So we have a.
I'm sorry, you can't say Chrome Pony on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
JK.
We did find out where the Floozies are from, though. They're from Kansas.
Kansas.
So I wasn't that far off.
No, not really.
Which we were saying isn't cool that it's not pronounced Kansas, since we have Arkansas. One of them needs to change. This aggression will not stand.
Let's see. So you guys have you've got a big time on Saturday all day long.
Yeah, and kids are free, which is awesome. So it's family friendly. You should totally dog friendly. You know, you can bring the whole crew.
Now, whether the dogs are friendly to each other, now I'm not sure you can control that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There'll be a dog swimming pool, though.
Yeah.
So hopefully that makes their friendliness
a dog swimming
happen.
Pool.
The dogs might have a better setup than the people. I do have to say, though, I am super excited, which this will come as no shock to anyone.
Wait, is this your thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kaylin, we'll revisit before the songs there. I did ask Kelsey and Kaylin what their favorite, you know, secret little thing, not secret per se, right, but personal thing that's happening is. And so
I said Bash.
Kelsey said Bash, and Kaylin, we've been waiting and with great anticipation. Yours is?
Well, I think it would have to be the bourbon lemonade slushy.
Oh, you're right. That is so obvious. I should have seen that coming. Yeah.
That should have been the trivia question.
Which you'll get to.
I will be taste testing, you know, starting at 8 a.m. You need to check every 30 minutes, I hear.
Yeah.
Quality
just
control.
Just to make sure that it's consistent. Mm-hmm. So you can find me by the bar.
We're loaded
with other
right
people
now,
during the day.
It's like, go back to our earliest discussion with other people, because drinking alone is creepy.
So people drink with me.
It's National Whiskey Sour Day today, folks. As a matter of fact, speaking of trivia, we're all loaded right now. We've been drinking whiskey sour since about 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's National Whiskey Sour Day.
It
I just want to say,
National
on behalf of everyone present who loves whiskey, thou shalt not sweeten sour mix, okay? Today or any other day. Sweet and sour mix is not a thing. It's not a real thing. It doesn't need to exist. Just use, if you use simple syrup and fresh juice. Mm-hmm. It sounds like we're ending the show. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Bye. It was great.
Dinner party download.
So let's see. Okay, well, so people want to find out more information.
Yeah,
that's
you can
easy,
go to
right?
MoonTowerMusicFestival.com. All the details are on there. You can see the food lineup, the music lineup. The booze lineup, if you're 21 or older, just in case the ABC is listening, we do check IDs.
Well, thanks you guys for coming out and talking, playing some tunes.
Thank you.
It's going to be a big day. Big day.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, and we'll leave with a little bit more music from one of the bands, another treasured and beloved Lexington band, which is kind of
on the whiskey note.
On the whiskey note. And kind of
theme.
Trad rock super group.
Yeah. They played on the news with me yesterday, a little acoustic set, and it rocked.
Is that right?
It was awesome.
Okay. Well, this is Small Batch, right? Yes. Who we love for, like, it has members from several other local bands. Mm-hmm. And
Warren Byram, right?
They're just, Warren and Tree. And
Robbie Cosenza. Mm-hmm. And
Reva Williams. Yeah. So,
And I found out that one of the members' nickname is The Llama, and we put out a thing on social media saying you can bring your dog but you can't bring your llama, so we're gonna have to edit that for him.
Too many L's.
Yeah.
All right, this is Small Batch from their, where did it go? This is from their this was from the Lexington Art League
their little EP they had.
Kelsey brought this in
a couple years ago, so okay. There's three songs on it. So I'll let Mick choose which song.
This is a Reva song. I'm quite fond of Reva, and she's been on the show a number of times.
Yeah, her voice is amazing.
Yeah. So this is Darker the Days. Small Batch here. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and visit with Teresa Tomb of Mecca, and which is always great fun. This is Trivial Thursdays on WRFL. Stick around, please. Today, Gene Simmons' birthday. Kiss, Calling Dr. Love. Well, I don't know. He's already said it all. The God of Thunder.
He is.
Gene,
and rock and roll.
Oh, right.
It should have been Dr. Lust, probably. I mean, just being accurate for Kiss, you know.
You're like a writing teacher. We played Neil Armstrong before that. You had something to say.
Well,
about,
you know, he messed up. Probably everybody already knows this because of the internet.
No, they don't. So you're just insulting people by saying you already know this.
Let me rewind. So Neil Armstrong was supposed to say that's one small step for a man, a giant leap for mankind. Those are two different things. And he forgot the A man. So he basically did what we call in writing kind of a tautology, which is where he repeats the same thing. It was a step and a leap, but still. So it should have been a man and then mankind.
Well, no, I never
thought
about this until you said it.
It really clears it up for me, because for years I've been wondering. That didn't make any sense.
He was trying to draw a contrast, but they should have had him go up the stairs and take it again, Neil. But they
do
were
overs.
they weren't quite like media savvy like we are these days.
Give him some more Tang and let's go from the top.
The camera crew on the moon set.
It's hard to fake a moon landing. They didn't have time for a second take.
Right.
That's probably part of the conspiracy.
I thought they did fake it.
What? I'm so confused. Alfred Kinsey died today.
Today was but
Neil Armstrong and Alfred Kinsey, different years. But
and he was Armstrong, the doctor.
Neil Armstrong just died a few years ago. We heard the Angst song, by the way, which is one of my from my college punk rock tape that my friend Byron Morton made for me. That it was kind of the only punk rock tape I really ever had. It was like a cassette with all the important punk rock songs on it. And then the internet came along, and I managed to go back and find just now
the cover, like, you know, like
with
how you do when you make a mixtape.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Doodles.
Like you do now with Canva. no. But
wasn't that Blue Oyster Cult before that?
We did hear Blue Oyster Cult.
Otherwise known as the only good thing about the TV movie The Stand, as the beginning where they use their song Over the Dead.
Let's see, you implicate yourself for having seen it.
Yeah. I like the book, though. I thought it might be worth a shot.
We heard Blue Oyster Cult with... Now, you know, we were talking about the sort of... If you really examine Kiss, the band Kiss, they are one of the most... basically harmless bands there is in terms of like their appearance is one thing, but if you never see a picture of them, they're just a straight up American rock and roll band. Blue Oyster Cult, on the other hand,
pop music,
right? Mm-hmm. Blue Oyster Cult, however, had their biggest hit, Burning for You, which is what we heard, which is about selling your soul to the devil, right? To have your way.
And Don't Fear the Reaper was another big hit, and that's, you know, that's pretty dark also,
right? Which is why I loved Blue Oyster Cult, because everybody was busy worrying about Ozzy biting the heads off bats, and I was like, Eric Bloom, that dude is evil. I think it was just the sunglasses in retrospect. I played Burning for You, and I think everybody in this room can sympathize, but actually played that for my too many friends who are on their way to Burning Man in the course of the next several days. They're actually burning for me, but
so you're not going.
I thought
this time
they were burning for me.
No,
we're having chill.
So yeah, the Kentucky Fried Camp is kind of on their way to Burning Man, which is I don't know how many people, 100 people strong or something, a collection of Kentuckians who go to the middle of the desert in Burning Man and have this kind of wildly popular Kentucky Fried Camp, kind of famous at Burning Man. Where they distribute shots of bourbon and fried bologna sandwiches for breakfast
staples
to everyone, right. Thousands of people. I heard the figure that they were going out west with, was it $800 worth of bourbon? I don't know.
I have not heard the figure.
Yeah, it was like quite a lot.
Yeah,
four bottles of Woodford.
All that, yeah, exactly. They took four bottles of Woodford.
Lots of
Benchmark, the official bourbon of the Kentucky Fried Camp, to be given away one shot at a time over the course of next week, which is Burning Man, an entire week. The greatest party on Earth, on the moon, as I like to describe it. So anyway, so best wishes to them. Not yes. really bastards.
Here's sand in your eye.
So anyway, so yeah, burning for you for them. And so here we are. By the way, we've been joined by Teresa Toome, which is always a great delight. Good morning, Teresa.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Getting some coffee inside of you.
Thank you for the coffee.
Yeah. Kind of a dainty little construction worker's mug.
It is. Pinkies.
Teresa, by the way, responsible for my favorite construction worker thermos. And if you're not sure what that looks like, it's the one that, like, Bugs Bunny drops on the construction worker's head, kind of this like a classic Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah, the drab green Stanley.
Yeah, just the classic, super classic construction, indestructible.
Yes.
Coleman, I think, or Stanley. Is it Stanley?
I think it's Stanley. Yeah, maybe.
They can't be killed. No. You can keep your coffee. What do they call the, you know, like carafe. Or carafe, all that stuff.
Giraffe carafe.
If you've got a piece of a great American design, if you have one of those thermoses like you gave me. And I have it too, but it was too heavy to carry.
It keeps it hot, definitely. Yeah. That road trip to Honk. My tea was hot 17 hours in.
That's March Madness business there.
Yeah.
Which you guys are also a part of.
Yay, March Madness.
There's kind of a conspiratorial tone in here at the moment, I think. I don't know. Mecca is kind of behind a lot of this stuff, involved in this stuff, inspiring of this stuff. You've been doing Mecca for a long time now.
Since April of 99.
I can't do the math.
That's 17 years.
17 years.
Yeah,
man, I'm old. It still feels like 99 was like, that's recently. 99 was recently, but no.
You were still a born-again Christian then, probably.
I was, actually, in 99, yeah. That's true.
Congratulations.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Well, you like to talk about it plenty, actually.
Oh, I'll talk about
it. You just like to talk about
the
flip side of it. But, back in the day, no one around these parts, or many parts, in fact, was really at all probably familiar with tribal style belly dance, I suppose. American tribal style, is that what you call it?
Well, American tribal style, tribal fusion, are two genres that kind of developed out of the belly dance world, starting in San Francisco. American tribal style really became popularized by Fat Chance Belly Dance probably in the late 80s, early 90s, I would say, or really got popular, I guess, around the time that Mecca started getting together.
Right. And this is a belly dance troupe you're talking about, a group called Fat Chance Belly Dance.
Fat Chance Belly Dance, that is the American tribal style troupe and sort of the quintessential representation of that style. And one of its original members, Jill Parker, who will be here this weekend that we're hosting, is she is sort of the mama of the tribal fusion movement, which tribal fusion came out of American tribal style and kind of took it into, started adding some modern music like hip hop and break dancing type club music, and then also kind of just mixed in some of the old school belly dance with this sort of San Francisco, again, I would say Burning Man sort of aesthetic, really. Very, at the time, Ultra Gypsy was the group that she was founded out after Fat Chance, and they had this very taboo kind of feel to them. They would dance with fire, and this is when you'd start seeing like people working with fire and different things like that. And so she has really influenced a lot of dancers over the years, and the movement. The fusion movement went in many, many different directions. She, so part of the Ultra Gypsy, some of the people that danced with them was Rachel Bryce and Sharon Kihara, and and then a lot of them went on to be very internationally renowned soloists and. Yeah.
So let me just say, you're the leader of Rakadu, which is a local troupe that, and would it be a reach to say that there was a time that these are people that you were your heroes sort of, or adored on a certain level,
and
have become peers of.
Right.
If I may.
I would say when I first started studying tribal style belly dance, I was studying with Carolina of Fat Chance and Jill Parker at the same time. And I would go to San Francisco and kind of split my time between studying with those two ladies. And I brought Jill here on several occasions just to do workshops and share her awesomeness, basically. So we're doing a show on Friday at 21C, and it's called Growing Up Tribal, because that's kind of what happened to us? We're, you know, belly dancers who sort of embrace this tribal style genre, and we've been with it all these years, you know, watching it change and being a part of it and, you know, influencing it and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
So this is, over the years, this, and I want to say a little bit more for people who haven't seen it, because I've seen a lot of it, but to see kind of American tribal style belly dance is, and I don't know, I want to draw this distinction because it's a super, super, if I can use the term, girl power thing. It does, yeah. It's arresting to watch.
Yes.
It's very empowering to the dancers.
Right.
And it's dazzling to watch to the audience.
Yeah. It really, you know, part of the aesthetic is this just honoring female strength, you know, in more, you know, it's alluring, but it's alluring in a like you say, girl power kind of way.
Yeah, I'm just looking for not necessarily a different term, but like it's not the least bit
exploitative at all.
It's or pandering.
That's a good word for it. Uh-huh. Actually, all ages, sizes, doesn't matter. It's not about reducing people to alluring. It's about the alluring comes out of the power and out of the fact that you're alive and this great human being and you express yourself through this music and dance, and it happens to be alluring a lot of times. Sure, that's the nature of belly dance, but it's not like that's the nugget, the essence of it. That is more of like an effect of it.
Right. And for me, because when I watch other dancers and students and stuff dancing, I'm just really struck by the individual and the really just that strength of putting yourself out there, you know. There is in our culture a real reluctancy to move the body and be expressive with the body, I think this dance form is very accessible, and it puts you in touch with that that expression, that physical expression, that there's emotional connection with music and all that kind of stuff. And when you do experience that, things start changing, you know, like your mental outlook is affected by that. So yeah, it's very compelling.
We tend to live in the land of false dichotomies where people, especially women, are expected to either be completely prudish or, you know, staid or hypersexual. And I love that belly dance doesn't embrace either of those. It's like an expression of the self.
There's sensuality. I feel like that's the difference. It's sensual. It's not overtly sexual.
There's a big difference between those.
Yeah.
They're related a lot, but they're different.
Yeah.
So let's see. So what's happening is Jill Parker's coming to town from San Francisco.
She lives in New York now.
Okay.
But that's where she started out. She's been in the Bay Area for many years. So we are hosting her in a series of workshops on Saturday and Sunday. But we're doing the showcase precedes the workshops, and that is this Friday at 21C. And so,
which is just an incredibly cool place to see anything.
Yeah, no, and
it seems,
I think,
really well suited for this kind of performance.
It's going to be very nice. It'll be a really nice, intimate experience in one of the galleries upstairs. And I believe they're changing out all the art this week, so it's like new art will be up. But so it'll be a very nice up close and personal. Jill Parker will be performing along with some dancers from Cincinnati, Zahara and Anaya and Katie Mogenberg.
Katie's going to do the Tahitian dance. Come on.
It's Tahitian, all belly dance, man.
The Tahitian pom-pom dance.
I know.
I love that.
It's pretty awesome. And then many local dancers as well. And then Cindy Elliott from St. Louis. Savanti is a tribal group from Kentucky. And so great. Like I said, we're calling it Growing Up Tribal because the tribal belly dance genre has gone in many directions. So this will be a nice representation of a lot of those directions.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question, related question. So where does the name Rikadu come from, and what's the most common mispronunciation of it?
Well, the most common mispronunciation is Rakadu. Mm-hmm. Then Rikadu is, it's an old Assyrian word, and it means to celebrate. Oh. So
Rikadu Assyrians were badass.
And you guys, so like, I mean, in the time since you founded Rikadu, as Rikadu Gypsy Dance.
But we just call it Rikadu.
Yes. So. You guys have, I don't know, I would say probably become friends and peers with a lot of the people that were original inspirations to you.
Oh, yes.
Performed with. Because that's a part of the scene that I find so interesting in this, the kind of, you said it's called Growing Up Tribal, and a part of that is that there's such a interwovenness to people in the dance world.
Yes, yes. No, and, you know, for when we first started dancing, we were all studying cabaret and folkloric because that was what was present. The tribal movement hadn't really come west of the or east of the Mississippi, and
when you say that, just to be clear, it's to help people understand, I don't want to use the word cartoonish, but it's more of the kind of she's shaking her head no, but like it's more of an exhibitionistic kind of, would you say? Okay, never mind.
Are you trying to describe the style?
I'm trying to draw a contrast between American tribal style and what you all and where you started before American tribal style became so popular and kind of ubiquitous in
like the difference between cabaret and,
yes.
Well, cabaret belly dance is based on like Egyptian rooted in Egyptian style nightclub dancing.
Okay.
So that is very glamorous, beautiful. The costuming would be very sparkly and rhinestones and sequins and stuff. And then tribal originally had more of a the costuming looks a little more folkloric, and you would have more natural fabrics, you know, tassel belts and, you know, original American tribal style wore the big turbans. And so it had more of a like Berber tribe, North African, Morocco kind of look. So that it has, I would say that it tribal is more akin to a folkloric sort of feel.
Okay.
And then when tribal fusion came in, then to me you started to see a little more of a mixture of the two, and a lot of, and sometimes the lines really got blurred in the movements where a lot of the movements. Sometimes it's kind of based on the costume somebody was wearing as far as like how you would tell the difference, honestly.
Okay.
But yeah, so
Teresa Tomb is here from Mecca, and Mecca is hosting Joe Parker this weekend.
Right.
In a number of opportunities, people have, I think, a couple of opportunities to see Joe, or...
There's
workshops, but then there's also performances.
Just one performance at 21C on Friday.
Okay. Trivial Thursdays here. I'm your host, Mick. It's about 6 until 9 o'clock. Coming up at 9 is Democracy Now!, as always, a WRFL favorite with Amy Goodman. And I'm here with Leif Erickson and Teresa Tomb of Mecca.
I have a question.
Yes.
If somebody wants to get into belly dance, like, what's the very first foundational thing you teach someone in belly dance? I mean, if you can say it instead of show it.
I teach them how to move their hips.
Okay. Yeah. So the hips are constantly moving in belly dance, right? Is that
a lot of hip movement. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much where the eye is drawn in that dance. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing we learn is how to move the hip.
Now the way the sort of belly dance scene works, one of the things that happens when you're bringing Jill Parker to town is she's going to teach workshops.
Right.
To lots of interested people, probably some of them coming from, you know, medium distances to study with an iconic
right.
dancer.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Jill is a master teacher and a master dancer, you know, having danced for... I don't know, two or three decades. An amazing teacher. Like I said, she's influenced so much of Rokkadu's material and the way we move and the way we utilize the dance language.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to teach Saturday and Sunday. And so you can learn from her and
she would have to teach me a lot.
She might have to spend, you might want some private lessons.
Move those hips, man.
but a lot of her, going to work on, finessing and fine tuning your dance and all that kind of stuff. So, and she, you know, if you watch her dance, it's just beautiful. It looks so relaxed and controlled, but she has an incredible amount of control, you know, just, and it's very compelling to see something that you're watching the movements and you're like, gosh, that looks so easy, but where's that coming from? You know, how is that generated? So, yeah, amazing.
Well,
dancer.
I mean, Bill, I've gotten a huge kick many times out of seeing Rokkadu perform or even Jill and mm-hmm. a variety of the other incredible performers, the countless performers that Mecca has brought to town. And it's kind of like
many.
Right, you know, it's like jazz for the body, kind of. I don't know. You have to have incredible vocabulary. You have to have this vocabulary of movements,
right,
and be able to summon them up.
A lot of isolation, so you're really learning how to move different parts of the body independently of each other, mm-hmm. which seems like, well, yeah, we do that every day, and yes, we do. Do that every day,
mm-hmm.
And so this, so it's very. I mean, that's the thing I find really compelling and love about belly dance is that it is accessible to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Our body moves this way. You know,
is it like jazz in the sense? Is there a lot of improvisation going on?
Definitely. Because because your body, you're interpreting the music, and so you have melody and rhythm and stuff. So, yeah, it's a very physical interpretation of what's happening musically.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to find out more, if they want to go see Jill, they can go see Jill on Friday night, right?
Friday night at 21C, and Growing Up Tribal is the... is the name of the show. You can go to meccadance.com if you want more information about it, or our Facebook page. So that, 8 o'clock.
Now NECA has all kinds of stuff going on. This is what's around the corner.
One of many things. Yeah. We're gearing up. This is our busy season.
Right.
Yeah, we just came out of Woodland Art Fair, and then after Jill, we'll be moving into Thriller. Then we'll go into 1001 Nights in November. So this is our finish out the year big.
The Woodland show was fantastic, by the way.
Oh, thank you, man. Everyone did a bang up job. Mm-hmm. So amazing. A lot of those. That was their first time ever performing. So,
everybody give Mecca some love because of all the incredible things that Mecca does in this town and continues to do for 17 years now.
Yes.
Jill Parker this weekend. Thanks, Teresa, for coming and talking.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks to Leif Erickson for coming and hanging out, too. And we're going to get out of here. Democracy Now! Coming your way right now. This is WRFL Lexington. Thanks for listening to Trivial Thursdays. We'll catch you next time.